Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Like I'm standing at the edge, I know that no one's gonna turn me around. Just one more step, I could let go. Oh, when in the middle, I hear the voices and they're calling for me now. I know that nothing's gonna wake me now, 'cause I'm a slave to the sound. Don't stop, no, I'll never give up, and I'll never look back. Just hold your head up, and if it gets rough, it's time to gear up. They keep saying, don't stop, no, it's never enough. I'll never look back, never give up, and if it gets rough, it's time to gear up.
Never give up. This is what happens when we let someone else do the music.
Are you kidding?
I think it happened last year.
Pretty sure.
Amrit, who was that?
That was Chaim.
No, who was that you just played the 10 seconds of?
Oh, okay.
You'll find out. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. It is the Monday before South By, so later up we'll be having Amrit Singh here talking about who he's super duper excited about seeing at South By.
And just messing up my music cues left and right.
More importantly, what are you doing for 311 Day?
For 311 Day?
Yeah, it's March 11th. Where are you going to go listen to all your favorite 311 jams?
Oh, that's a good question. All mixed up. I'm all mixed up about my 311 days.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm Darren Bresnitz, one half your host.
I see you've been working on your patter for your from your Vietnam trip.
It's very great. It's very good to be back here post-Vietnam. Ate a lot of noodle soup.
Yeah.
A lot of street food.
Highlight dish?
Banh mi au lot, which is a banh mi with a fried egg.
Not the shame half duck you ate in the corner of your
hotel. No, there's no shame about that. My last day there, I bought a whole... Well, this guy would only sell me a half or a whole duck, so I got a half duck and ate it by the rooftop pool. Such shame. Total shame. I was like, oh my God, all these German tourists are looking right at me, and I didn't look anyone in the eye. And the worst was having to throw out, like, the styrofoam box of, like, duck bones.
That was the worst?
Yeah, because I had to hand it to somebody because there was no trash cans. I couldn't just put anything. I had to hand it to a guy at the reception desk, and he, like, looked at me, and I was... gave it to him with my head bowed. I was like, someone left trash. anyway, so we are here. We have a packed show today. We have first up Molly Crossan from Hot Bread Kitchen. Welcome.
Hello.
Coming all the way down from Harlem?
East Harlem.
East Harlem.
115th and Park. So very far.
Very far. Yeah. What's that commute like?
It took me almost an hour to get here.
What were you listening to? What was your subway jam on the way here?
I was reading, not listening.
Oh, what are you reading?
I was reading The New Yorker. I've backlogged like 12 months of issues that I'm trying to get through.
I've given up.
Yeah.
I've given up.
It stresses me out.
I had The New Yorker quicksand pit, and I I was good, but now I read The Times. I'm more current than long form.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we first came across Hot Bread's Kitchens through the lovely people at Russ and Daughters at their annual herring event, and you had a challah
hot dog bun,
which was the best thing ever.
Better than the herring?
No.
You're not allowed to say that.
No,
but.
You're not allowed to say that.
I'm saying
that's
as
a shunda to say that, Greg.
As far as hot dog buns go in the history of hot dog buns, this is the best
one. I'll put it
there. Thank you.
The bun was so good that I had Jen Snow give me your contact information so we could have you on here.
It's a pretty good bun.
So for those who don't know what Hot Bread Kitchen is, what is Hot Bread Kitchen?
So we are a nonprofit bakery that provides job training and business incubation for immigrant women and minority food entrepreneurs. So we run two programs. We have a artisan baking training program for immigrant women where we train women to leverage their culinary history to gain the skill to become professional bakers. And then our second program is an incubator program where we support small food entrepreneurs in growing their food business.
So you brought us a number of different breads today.
Snacky Tunes.
Yeah.
I brought the snacks.
No,
can I say that you're the first person who actually brought us snacks on Snacky Tunes?
He brought
that's
tunes.
That's not true.
Who brought
Dinosaur Barbecue.
That was a meal.
Yeah, that was a
meal. These are snacks.
These are official snacks.
These are snacks.
Sorry, yeah, I stand corrected.
That was he brought us like trays of pulled pork.
So what are some of the regions and ethnicities that are represented here?
Sure. So I brought Bialys, which we also sell at Russ and Daughters, and those are Polish, originally from Bialystok, Poland. I brought Mexican conchas, which are the bottom is a challah and sort of like a brioche sweeter roll, and then the top is either chocolate or vanilla. And then I brought a Persian nani kandi and raisin walnut roll.
And how do these kind of like make the cut? Like how do they get introduced?
Yeah. We have.
Or how do they make the slice?
We have a head baker who helps develop all of our
Ben, right?
Ben Hirschberger.
Shout out to Ben.
Hey Ben, who develops all of our recipes and a lot of the breads we make are inspired by the cultures of the women in our training program. So we make a really diverse range of about 40 different breads from all over the world. And it's sort of it's Ben working with our CEO, Jasmine Rodriguez, to develop breads that we think there'd be a demand for and that are ultimately very delicious.
Are the people that you bring on to teach bread, do they, how to bake bread, do they
bring some of their bread traditions with them?
Yeah, definitely. So we make a Moroccan msemen, which is like a flat sort of buttery crepe that's really, really incredible.
I don't see that here.
It's only good if it's heated up. And then okay. I was like, it's not going to travel well. Needs to be refrigerated. Next time. But next time. So that's
well, a... No, we got to come up to
eat. That's Harlem. True. Yeah. It's a recipe from...
All those trips to Harlem that we make. I'd go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
So
it's a bread that was brought to us by a baker named Bushra, who's like, this is a bread I make every morning for my family. And our CEO had it when she was in Morocco, and she knew that there would be a big demand for this product, and it's one of our best-selling products. So all the breads that we sell, that revenue goes to fund the training program. So our goal is to be completely sustained through earned revenue.
And how do women get into the program?
A variety of different ways, but we have a training director who works with different immigrant advocacy organizations and workforce development organizations that refer people to our program, and then they do an interview. They do sort of a trial by fire in the kitchen. They have to just jump in and get on the table, and our head Ben sees sort of how they move around in the kitchen. If they have what he calls dough hands, and then they're brought in.
Dough hands?
That's like a green thumb.
Yeah, except for bread. So it's like, how quickly does someone move around the kitchen? How easily are they handling the dough? How well do they work in the kitchen environment?
We love your personality, but your dough hand. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this.
That's when you know you need them.
Yeah.
I was going to say that they probably need more time, but yeah.
We'll see who can rise to the occasion.
There it is.
Yeast. Right. Yeah. Yeast.
Bread puns. Come on. Keep them coming.
So let's talk about the small business stuff.
Yep.
Where did you find the correlation between baking bread and small business?
I mean, the ethos behind the project is just that around the world, women are the world's bakers, women are the world's cooks, and oftentimes they come to America and they're relegated to cooking in someone's home, for example, or they have an informal food business and sell tamales on the street. And so our founder, Jasmine Rodriguez, realized that there's a huge demand for ethnic and artisan products, whether it be breads or, you know, those tamales that they sell on 116th Street. And by offering people space and minor technical supports, they could sort of leverage these existing talents to build economic security for themselves and their family.
That's amazing. I mean, really, one of the best things when you get into a country is getting the local bread and pastries and seeing what they have to offer.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot from people's culture for the bread
exactly.
that they make.
And every country has like a bread or a staple starch. And
what's your favorite bread?
That we make?
Well, I mean...
Or in we'll all go, of life?
Let's do both.
I mean, so we basically... It changes week by week because we're constantly developing new recipes. So we're working on this whole wheat chapati that is amazing. And it's a recipe from this woman, Lut Vanessa, who's from Bangladesh. And it lasts really long. It's made in a really interesting way. You actually boil the flour in water. Before you... So basically, like, cooks the flour and activates the gluten, and then you knead it, and it's already basically pre-cooked, so it cooks really quickly, and then it has a really long shelf life. So it's an interesting, very interesting.
Crazy. That's yeah. great. And then, what's your favorite bread?
Just in all of life.
Yeah, in all of the world.
in all of the world, I really like. It's not we consider it bread. I really like corn tortillas, so we make corn tortillas that we grind all of the corn. And make the masa.
Is that a bread?
It's a bread.
Okay.
If matzah can be a bread, if injera can be a bread, tortillas can be a bread.
Hey. You know how many years my parents were telling me matzah's bread? I'm like, come on. It's not bread. Then saltine's a bread, you know what I'm saying? Crack it. Okay, that's great. You know what? Fresh corn masa tortillas are absolutely delicious. What's your favorite way to enjoy bread? Do you like a schmear?
A little bit of schmear. It depends on the bread. Sometimes just with just the bread itself. But we make a lot of bread-based meals at the kitchen, as you can imagine. So we do all sorts of weird stuff. We're making a churipan, like a chorizo sandwich that's usually on like a soft bun. We're trying to work out something where we can make it on a Persian flatbread. That's not this one. It's called Nani Barbary.
Are you mixing? So you're mixing cultures.
Mixing cultures, yeah. Because the whole idea is like everyone has a food culture. You know, the women that we work with and the businesses that we work with, they don't necessarily speak the same language, but they all can... you know, communicate through food.
So where do people get your breads? You have a retail store, don't you?
We have a retail store in East Harlem.
What's it called?
It's called Hot Bread Almacen. We're in every Whole Foods in New York, and we're about in 13 different farmers markets in our high season, and all of our retailers are listed on our website under Buy Our Bread.
So what's the future? What's coming up next?
So the future is we want to be completely financially sustainable through bread sales. So on our website, you can find where to buy our breads and you can donate to our organization. And once we're completely sustainable, we want to replicate our model in other cities.
Amazing.
This is amazing.
And then finally, if
from one singular hot dog roll.
Yeah, I know.
Just imagine.
I said if there was no health issues with me eating bread and butter, I would eat that all day, every day.
Ben eats 3 loaves of bread a day.
Impossible.
At least.
No. Is he is he one of those skinny bakers?
He's skinny because he's running around and he's on his feet 12 hours a day, like running around.
So he's essentially
bread.
He's an asshole. Is what you're saying.
And he has a fantastic metabolism. Yeah.
And then if I'm a minority and I want to get some help from you to open a business, how do I get in touch? It's the HBK Incubates, right?
Yeah. So HBK Incubates, you can go on our website, you can download an application, you can email us at info@hotbreadkitchen.org. We can set up a tour.
Awesome. And finally, what music gets played in the bakery?
All sorts of things. We listen to, sometimes it's the call to prayer. Sometimes it's Shakira. It's music from all over the world.
That's what my playlist is. It's call to prayer into Shakira.
And then maybe, some Hot 97 wide range.
Yeah, whatever gets those dough hands moving, right?
Exactly.
So what are the nuts and bolts? Where do we find you? How do we find you physically, online, email?
So you can find our website is hotbreadkitchen.org. General questions, you can email us at info@hotbreadkitchen.org. We're on Twitter, Hot Bread Kitchen, Facebook, Hot Bread Kitchen.
Awesome.
We're all over the place.
Awesome. Well, stick out. We're going to have some hot bread pizza
Amazing.
Coming up.
Thank
you. And Amrit, you got a song for us while we bridge the gap?
Sure.
What do you got?
This is a band called Youth Lagoon. You can catch them in Austin at the Stereo Gum Show, which is some self-promotion.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Just a fine
I'm
All right. Who was that?
That was Youth Lagoon.
I like it.
Trevor Powers from Indiana.
Good for him.
He's great. Yeah, he really stepped up with this record. We'll talk about it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have from the other coast, Portland, Oregon.
Is Portland a coast?
No, but that's it's the other side of the country, right?
It is a coast.
It's a coast?
Yes.
The coast of Portland.
We occupy part of the coast.
Yes. We have Jen Lewis, drummer.
Drummer first.
Oh, yes. I bring it.
Restaurateur second. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you very much.
You're the second Portland chef that we had. We had Naomi from Beast on
Excellent.
A while back.
She's awesome.
She is great.
She is fantastic. So, Jen...
Little known fact, she and I started our first catering businesses together the same
no
year.
No way.
Well, not together, but separately. Okay. Same year.
So, okay. So you have culinary artistry.
That was my first business. Opened it in 2000. It's a catering business.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Why catering business?
It was kind of that thing, and I think it's very, very Portland in a way, that I was 28. I worked for a restaurant for about 2 years. I was making $7.50 an hour, and I knew that I could make a little bit more money somewhere else. And somebody asked me to cook a dinner for a bunch of friends in their house. I did it, and it just kind of spiraled from there, and it went into weddings and corporate stuff and small dinners in people's homes and really creative.
What was the typical spread for like one of your meals?
Kind of varies. I like to think, I really actually love catering weddings. It's something most people would not say they like to do.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
I do. I think it's one, it's an incredibly special event for someone. And I love working my restaurant as much as I will go to cater an event for people. I love catering weddings in the summertime out on a farm. You have a big, big grill.
Can you be more?
Yeah, more specific.
Okay. As long as the wedding is outside on a farm with a grill.
Well, come on. It's Oregon, right?
Yeah. off of I-5, but you know, the good exits.
Well, but it's so, I mean, in Portland, you're 20 minutes from country.
Yeah.
And so our farms are that close. And you know, there's hotels, but there's tons of really creative, beautiful venues that are really, truly Pacific Northwest. And I think that's what we do. And being able to throw a bunch of meat on a grill, have some really delicious grain salads, vegetable salads. Kind of, I like to think of it as like a Italian or French picnic. Mm. And I think that all of those really bright flavors are really seasonal, really ingredient driven, and that's what we do. And so you can translate that really well right. to an event like a wedding.
Not to mention all the great wineries that are out there too.
Absolutely,
and check beer. One.
And coffee and distillers and all of that.
And beer.
And beer.
Let's not forget about the beer.
Don't forget
one
about
of
beer.
Your favorite wineries. Give someone a little love.
Oh, you know, I do a lot of work with Elk Cove Winery. Brick House is really great. I'm a bourbon drinker, though.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yes. I always tell the wineries, they ask me, like, well, you know, do you like this kind of wine? I say, when it tastes like bourbon, then I will love it.
Floral notes of bourbon.
What's your go-to drink? What's your go-to bourbon?
You know, I'm pretty open-minded. I like rye, but I'll drink... Rittenhouse. I'm pretty open-minded.
I just had the Redbreast 12-year.
Oh,
that is unbelievable.
That's maybe we really should good. Get some after this.
Okay, fine.
Okay, done.
All right, thanks for coming to Snacky Tunes. We are done.
It's been a pleasure.
And then, in addition to, so you still have the catering company.
I do.
And you have two restaurants.
I do.
Sunshine Tavern and Lincoln.
Yes.
Lincoln Restaurant?
Yes. So Lincoln Restaurant was our first restaurant. We opened in 2008. My husband, David Walsh, and I own it together. He runs the dining room. I run the kitchen. And he begged me to do it. I was totally done with opening businesses. He's a radio by trade, worked for NPR, and he wanted to...
Does he have the best voice?
He does. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on.
Say something nice.
Say something nice.
I'd like to say something very nice.
Oh my God.
That's pretty good. I got a little tired, kind of cozy, and I felt a little bit smarter.
I don't think the pause was very as long enough in between some of those words.
Breath, yeah.
You're waiting in your car.
Oh, there it is.
Practiced.
We'll have to get you to do
how do you not fall in love with that?
Oh my God. We'll have to get you some do an official Heritage Radio NPR drop after this.
Oh my God, amazing.
Oh my God, amazing. So he pushed you. Is NPR not making good money these days?
We met in a restaurant. He was a busser and I was a line cook. And after that, he always kept his foot in restaurants. And he begged me for months to open a restaurant. And I kept saying no. And finally, I said yes. Opened Lincoln. And a couple years later, we opened Sunshine.
And what's the food there?
Lincoln is kind of casual fine dining. Pretty much everything in Portland's pretty casual. Really ingredient-driven. We work with a bunch of local farms. Some people call it farm-to-table. I just think the food's better when it's in season. It tastes better.
Right.
I remember I went to school at U of O, and I remember like in 2000, like it was not a place to see on menus. Like, this is from your local farmer's market. Like, well before the trend. Just as kind of like a current practice for most restaurants.
Well, it tastes good. We've got so many great farms, and we have this really cool infrastructure where we get emails from local farms. They tell us what they have available. We email and tell them what we want, and they deliver it to our door. And it's very simple. You don't have to go to a market.
I've heard rumors of Portland that like people will just show up like back doors of kitchens with like, here's some like fresh mushrooms or things like that, and just kind of like cold.
I knew you were going to say mushrooms, and yes, that does happen.
Okay, that's.
And I do want to dispel the myth. We do not name the chickens that we serve at the restaurant.
I know. Oh, is that just a Portlandia joke?
I know. Yep.
How'd you feel about Portlandia?
I call them delicious.
How'd you feel about Portlandia?
I think it's great. I think it's. I joke. I think it's great, and I always say it's kind of embarrassing. It is a very eccentric culture that we live in.
Yeah.
It's and one of my restaurants is kind of in the hotbed, so it's not unusual to be cooking, and there's, you know, big glass windows in the front of our restaurant, so we could be cooking, and there could be like a whole team of naked bike riders. There could be a team of people riding double deck bikes.
Tall bikes.
Tutus, the whole getup.
So, I mean, that was the first thing about the first season of that show where some people were like, I don't understand what's so funny. I was like, it's not because it stunts so perfectly. Like, it's just like, here it is. And what have you for like eating habits in Portland? Like here, you know, you can pretty much eat anywhere at 7 o'clock, no problem. But when I go out to Portland, I've noticed like 6 o'clock restaurants are packed, but tend to be dead after 8:30.
Here's what I say. It's kind of like we're a farming culture. It's a really early night. It's not a late night town. There's very few places open late. It's just a different culture.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I was out there with my parents, and we're like, oh, let's go to Pock Pock at 6 o'clock, and it's like a 2 hour wait.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I know it's Pock Pock, but I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, unheard of.
That's how it works.
So how was it to win probably one of the highest accolades in food, being the best new chef in the class of 2012 for Food and Wine?
It was really, really surprising. I had no idea.
Because they play that close to the vest, right? It's like they tell you and they have to keep it pretty secret.
It's close to the chef's coat.
I don't wear a chef coat.
It's Portland, Greg.
Sorry.
It was really surprising. It was. I had met Dana Cowan before. She called on my cell phone, which I thought was kind of strange, like in the middle of the morning, one morning.
Hey, it's your girl, D.
And I'm like, so
what
do
up,
I
Jay?
Do?
It's D. What you doing?
And you know, my mom taught me to be very formal and very polite. So she's on the phone. I'm like, oh, make nice conversation. So I'm like, how are you? It's really great to talk to you. What's new? And I think she was trying to get on with the conversation. But it was really surprising. I had no idea what was coming from. And I walked into the office next to mine, which my husband works in. And I think I covered the phone a little bit. I'm like, oh my God, it's Dana Cowan. So it was pretty flooring. It was really out of nowhere.
And did you cook for the event?
Which event?
No, did you, or no, because the next year is when you would actually bring up.
We cooked, actually, in Aspen. We did cook.
You cooked at Aspen.
Yeah,
right.
I made one of my favorite dishes. It's a braised octopus. It's always on the menu at Lincoln, and it's really slowly braised. It's tender. We serve it on a little bit of salad that changes kind of through the season depending on what's available, and it has some pimentone and oil-cured olives. It's delicious.
Sounds awesome.
Sounds awesome.
I don't see it out here on the table, though.
That's a meal. I know. It's not a snack, Greg.
It doesn't transport quite as well.
I noticed that I started following you on Instagram, and you've been sort of all over the country for the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. You've been on a little, like, mini tour?
I've been traveling a lot. I travel about a week and a half to 2 weeks a month right now.
Wow.
And it's fun. When I'm at home, I'm on 120%.
Right.
It's really busy, but it's really fun. I did a Rabata Grill event with Chef Jonathan Sawyer in Columbus last weekend, and it was just really, really fun. But I do love documenting my travel and my cooking by Instagram. I think it's a really fun. It's both social media, but it's taught me to look at food a little bit differently, because you, as a chef, you think about tasting food, but it's really taught me about looking at food.
So you don't have any hangups about people taking pictures of their
plates?
I
don't. I think it's great.
At your restaurant.
Two weeks ago, I do too, but. 2 weeks ago, we did have a couple sitting at like this table, and the girl like got on a chair to get like a proper angle. I thought that maybe stepped over the line just
maybe.
A little bit. You think she didn't just step up to get the right photo?
Nope.
Bad joke and bad photo op. So are you going to be Instagramming your trip to Italy this spring?
I will. I'm writing a book right now. It's almost done. I'm really excited about it. It's Can I tell you about it?
Yeah.
It's about.
This would be the platform.
Well, it's kind of weird.
So.
Okay, let's do that. So so pasta is divided into different categories, and you know, pasta longa is all your long noodles like spaghetti, fettuccine, that type of thing. Pasta corta is all your short noodles, and then you have gnocchi. And what Americans don't know is that gnocchi is not just the potato dumplings. It's not just ricotta dumplings. It's a whole family of dumplings, and it's never been written about in the English language in any English language speaking
country. How dare they?
I know. And I kind of got into it a few years ago, and I started kind of cataloging recipes, and you got Sorcetti, Malfatti, Maloretis, Chicche. And by region, it's a really rich tradition, and a lot of it's lost. There's one that I really love, and it's from this little tiny town about an hour and a half north of Rome, and it's a last tradition. There's only two people who knew how to make it in the town. Outside the town, people had never heard of it. And they had this, in 2004, they had this big event where they taught everyone in the town how to make these gnocchi. Oh,
that's amazing.
So it's been really cool to see.
Well, wide cast net, not to lose tradition, right?
What?
A wide cast net so the tradition is not lost.
Yeah, it's really cool.
What's the gnocchi called? What type is that?
Gnocchi ricci. It means curly gnocchi, and it's how it's pulled. It looks almost like orchiette, and it kind of has curly edges.
Whoa, amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. One last thing.
Yes.
You can't leave without talking about your drumming.
My drumming.
How did you get into drumming? Is that like your stress reliever? Is that
kind of? I don't have a lot of hobbies. I work a lot, and I've worked a lot for a lot of years. And so, and I cook. I cook at home on my time off. And so, I've always wanted to drum. And my husband David is also he's a musician, and he really encouraged me to play the drums. We found a kit that somebody was getting rid of, and a friend who was a tremendous drummer offered to teach me, and I've been playing for about 2 years. Rachel Blumberg, who used to play with December, she played with M. Ward, and I love it. I think it kind of brings you out into this little zone that kind of takes me away from everything else. So,
is there a lot of crossover between musicians and chefs in Portland?
I don't know.
Okay,
I can't answer that.
By the way, your husband is a NPR drummer. You had no chance.
Pardon?
You had no chance.
I know. It's great. I really love it. I think there's a lot
and
of
he's
correlation
into food. Yeah.
to playing music and working the kitchen. There's a rhythm. There's a rhythm to how you pay attention to things and how you listen to people and how you time.
Someone should combine the two topics and make a show about it.
It'd be really messy.
Well, thank you so much. Where can everyone go for the information? Is there a catch-all website for you? Or is it just each restaurant, each...
LincolnPDX.com, SunshinePDX.com, and then my Instagram is Jen Lewis. And my Twitter
you
is
spell
Jen
that?
Lewis. Yeah. Yes, JenNLouis, and then Twitter is Jen Lewis PDX.
Great. Have you met Jen Lewis, who is just Jen Lewis on Twitter? Have you found her?
I went to high school with Jen JenLewis.
Okay.
And I went to school with 34 girls in my class, so that was kind of odd.
Yeah. Huh? Small world. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Stick around, have some pizza.
Thanks.
And we got another song coming up from Amrit, and then we're gonna talk about all things South by.
What song is this?
This is a song called Bag by a band called White Long, which I'm legitimately excited to see at South by Southwest.
White Long?
White Long.
Okay.
I really like that.
Yeah, I really like that.
I thought you guys would like that. That's why I picked it. Yes, let's do it. Their name is White Lung. They're from Vancouver. They're a four-piece. This is their second record. It's called Sorry. And I think they're one of the bands that will like truly uphold the promise of South by Southwest in that they are
not. And what is that promise?
That promise is like you go down and you actually discover something. You get a chance to make up your own mind before the internet has made up your mind for you.
And well, technically you are the internet, so.
Yeah.
I'm a part of the internet, it's true.
So Amrit, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be back. This is our third year. This is our third year doing this together.
And what year South by does this make for you?
This is seven consecutive South by Southwests for me.
I'm about to lose out. This is going to be seven for me.
This is eight
Sorry,
for
man,
me.
You fell
so
off.
I
fell
off. Jerks.
All right.
I'm sorry. I just have to stay off the internet so I don't get bummed. No FOMO.
Stay off the Twitter.
Stay off the Instagram. That's
going to
be tough. So
I saw Michael Azarad, the great music writer who wrote a book called Our Band Could Be Your Life, which everyone should read.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing. He just tweeted something which I thought was very true. He tweeted, South by Southwest experiences are like dreams, much more interesting to the person who's having them and not anybody else. That's why I won't be tweeting about my South by Southwest unless something really amazing happens, which I think is very true unless you're Tony Soprano, in which case I'm very interested in your dreams.
I'm
like six episodes into The Sopranos. I've been marathoning it for the last month, so I might make
six
some
of like what, like a hundred and something?
Six of six. It's a lot of Sopranos.
You're in the sixth season.
I'm in the sixth season. I've watched six seasons in the last month.
That's a lot.
It's insane. It's multiple episodes a day.
That is
if you want to know. Anyway.
So how much work does it take to run a music website?
this is mornings and nights, not mornings really, but gym and nights.
So
I've been traveling a lot.
I mean, you are a seasoned veteran. You run one of the larger music websites. What are you looking for this year? Like, what is it that will, you've probably seen it all. You've discovered bands. Like, what is the thing that you're like, I'm still excited about this part of a time-honored tradition?
Well, I mean, South by Southwest for someone in my particular shoes is an opportunity to see people who live down the street, but you just don't see unless you go to Austin. It's that sort of thing. There are bands I'm legitimately excited to see. A lot of the bands that I recommend to people I've seen numerous times. So for me to see them down in Austin, there's something about the situational context of seeing a band in that environment and whether they're able to translate what you know they can do in a smaller club in New York, let's say, in an industry-packed showcase environment. And it's difficult. Some bands really thrive in that, and some bands just fall apart under pressure. And for that reason, I'm always interested to see bands, even if I've seen them before.
All right, let's hear another one. Which one?
You want to hear another band?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Let me pull up my little playlist here. I could give you a band called Parquet Courts. This song is called
Stoned
and Starving.
I love them. I'm actually excited to see them as well.
Excellent.
Why didn't you send me this? I want to hear bands like that.
I'm excited to see that band.
Drody.
Yeah.
You said Vice Party?
They're going to be playing the Vice Party on Saturday night. Greg was saying during the break, if this isn't a Vice-approved band, they will be. In fact, they are. They get a little Jonathan Richman in there, a little television, a little
And they're
wire.
Local
It's
boys.
Really good. They are. They're actually from, at least one of them, Andrew Savage, played in a band called Fergus and Geronimo from Denton, Texas. So this is going to be somewhat of a homecoming for them this week. I think they'll have a very big week. They're that kind of band. They're kind of got local roots. They're on the way up. They had this record reissued earlier this year, and people were like, whoa, we slept on this, which really helped their narrative. Yeah.
Does that help the narrative? Like, if people missed it and they get rediscovered?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what helped the National, too. Think about Boxer was such a huge explosion for them, but, like, right. Alligator was a slow burn, and by the time Boxer came out, people were like, why were we paying attention to Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, instead of the National?
I feel like the National is, like, the quintessential, like, dad rock.
They
like
yeah,
that
they
article you sent me about Hip Suburbia.
Yeah,
the soundtrack for that mm-hmm. is the National.
Oh, you mean upstate New York?
Yeah,
we actually have a franchise called Parental Advisory where we've started talking to rockers about being rock dads. It's kind of fun. Yeah, they're probably the band that Tom at Stereo Gum, who started the column, probably had them in mind, but we haven't talked to him yet about it.
Jerry, who started Paper Thin Walls and did all the plug award stuff, his like absolute quintessential favorite band was the National, and he was like the very epitome of like 90s indie rocker guy who grew up, got kids, and like they were just singing to him. I know they're writing music for other people, but they were just singing to him.
So yeah, this is Darren is not going to be at South by Southwest for the first time in many years. Greg and I will be keeping the flame alive. Last year we did a panel together with Top
panel.
Chef's Richard Blaze.
It was good times.
It was very good.
For
it was successful.
For all 35 people.
Did you guys see if South by Southwest actually posted a video recap of it?
Oh, no, I missed that.
It's nice. It's a nice little montage, actually.
And you'll be going down and talking all things Dosa Hunt, I'm sure?
I'm going to be asked about it a lot, I think. I have Dosa Hunt is a short film I made with guys from Vampire Weekend, Das Racist, Neon Indian, and Yeser.
And our good friend Zoe Shack.
And yeah, she's the editor and producer of it. And yeah, we just ran around the city for a day looking for the best dosa in New York City. And in a van that was tricked out like an Indian disco. And it came out quite well, I think. I worked really hard on it to make sure it did. But it's funny. And we're doing some screenings and festivals in California, actually after South by Southwest, one in San Francisco and one in Los Angeles.
Is there dosa down in Austin? I'm sure people ask you that. Are you prepared for the answer?
I actually don't know. I'm going
down
there to find out.
There's some Indian on the outskirts of town.
Well, I mean, the thing is, and the whole dosa hunt started because Rostam from Vampire Weekend was having a fusion dosa at a place called Hampton Chutney Co., which actually is quite good, but at the time I didn't know what it was when he tweeted about it. And I'm just like, the kid from this Ivy League indie rock band is having a Hampton dosa? I'm like, what's in it? And he's like, arugula and jack cheese. And that's when I knew that we had to go for an authentic dosa. Yeah, but I don't know. I think that down in Austin is probably going to be a lot of just basically like dosa is a crepe, you know? So it'll be like a lot of crepes filled with various ingredients, but we'll see.
Let's get another song.
Another song?
Yeah.
Okay. We have this one is by a band called Autre Nouveau.
Oh, Greg, do you like Autre Nouveau?
Love this band.
They're so good. They've come such a long way in the last 2 years. I saw them open for How to Dress Well in this little church in Greenpoint. I think actually you guys were at that show too.
Yep.
Yeah, and at that time it was just like straight Prince worship with like no real focus, and it's expanded a bit and refined. Live, it's going to be with Joel Ford from Ford and Patton and Jessica Zambri from Zambri.
We just saw the record release show. And it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Zambri passed Snacky Tunes guest on the Snacky Tunes
Yeah,
column.
Yeah.
She's a perfect backup vocalist.
It's great. I'm proud of all of them. And the record is really great. The record's called Anxiety. This song is called Ego Free, Sex Free.
Ego free, sex free. I can't see your body. I can't see my baby.
That's the best part of the song.
Just to, I mean,
it usually takes 3 minutes to get to it, but I gave it to you.
Yeah, but
their build up is great.
I've played like every week. I've played some Altre Nouveau, so
yeah,
past listeners don't need like a reminder.
Oh, so they know what's up. Yeah. Okay, good. Well, good. I'm glad we're all on the same page. But they're great. They're gonna have a good set by Southwest. I mean, I think that, you know, White Long Will Leaf, who's a rapper who's on Greedhead, is going to have a big one.
He's not, I mean, is that Breakout, though? He's been around for a while.
Well, there isn't a whole lot of, like, real Breakout.
There's no more Breakout anymore at South By, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that Dive will... Do you know Alpine?
Mm-mm. We know Dive.
Yeah.
We know Dive.
I know you guys know
Who
Dive.
Almost played here.
Mets, Merchandise, I think all those bands.
How about Pause? I think Pause will do some good stuff.
Pause will do some good stuff.
I mean,
yeah.
This is kind of like... I've come to see in the last few years a change where it's like South by Southwest is pretty much like your like catch all for what you didn't see at CMJ.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you missed at CMJ, there's not enough time really between then and now for like new bands to really emerge, especially with like the modern cycle of bands. Like because October, by the time October's over, it's like November, December, nothing's really big, and then maybe there might be a couple bands that put out records. And like Altre Nouveau is a really good example of a band that got a lot of buzz from CMJ, and now we'll probably have a really standout South By.
Yeah.
But
I think Savages and Mets also fit into that category. There's something that happens for certain bands. Purity Ring, this happened to Purity Ring, too. Like, they had a good CMJ.
Polika happened to last year as well.
Yep. They wind up signing to Mom and Pop after that, which is a great, great label run by a great man named Michael Goldstone. Yeah.
So we always ask this, but it might as well be, for any of the handful of people that are listening that are first-timers,
uh-huh.
What tips do you have? For South By.
Oh, sure. Well, I think that on Tuesday, the Pitchfork Showcase at Mohawk is really good. Wednesday, you could see White Lung, who I just played earlier, and Waxahachie, which is Kate Crutchfield's band. Kate Crutchfield is an interesting case. Her sister's in a band called Swearin. Her sister's name is Sarah. And the two of them are twins, and they're both making really great music in independent bands. They live together, though, in Philly, I think.
Yep.
So Waxahachie will be playing the show with White Lung on Wednesday night at Holy Mountain. If you're into big bands, Yeah Yeahs are down there Wednesday at Stubbs. Mm-hmm. Vampire Weekend are also at Stubbs on Friday.
It's the NPR showcase.
Yeah.
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds is headlining it.
Is that right?
Yeah Yeahs and Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
That's going to be a hard show to get into.
Yeah Yeahs is really headlining it, if we're talking. But Jim... Yeah.
No, you're totally right. Everyone's... wait with bated breath to see them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think that their new stuff sounds cool.
The new single is amazing.
Very gospel.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Jim James from My Morning Jacket is doing a set at the Hype Hotel on Wednesday night. And the Hype Hotel is probably about 1,000-person venue. So, this is an opportunity to actually see something. Like, I'm generally against going to see big bands in Austin just because I figure, like, it just, you know, for many reasons, and for all the ascendant bands out there that get crowded out. But Jim James in 1,000-person venue, if you're a Jim James fan, that makes a lot of sense because you won't really get a chance to see that. I saw him in a church one year.
That
just
makes
solo.
A lot of sense.
It does. A 1,000-person venue, Jim James can probably sell out Terminal 5 on his own at this point, you know? And his solo record is really good.
I'd agree. It was like Fiona Apple in the church last year. Like, if you could have seen that...
Then you gotta go. You gotta go. And the Hype Hotel is on San Jacinto and 3rd Street, and that's where Stereo Gum is doing our show.
And you can still RSVP to that, right?
You can. And
if you just email Amra directly, we'll give you a cell phone number. He'll get you right on in.
Perfect.
Hey, what's to be avoided this year?
Let me just tell you about the Stereo Gum lineup real quick.
Oh, okay.
Too. It's Youth Lagoon, who we heard earlier. It's Trevor Powers from Indiana. He made a record called Wondrous Bug House, which is out now, I believe. It's great. It's a huge step up. It's a psychedelic record with a lot of heart. It's kind of like, people have been talking about it in terms of like Built to Spill, in that he's kind of living in, you know, not a primary media market, let's say. He's not one of those who like packed up and moved to LA or Williamsburg. He's kind of really rooted in Indiana and made this sort of inward looking record that winds up being very expansive in sounds. The lyrics are introspective and sort of spiritual in a Built to Spill kind of way. And the sounds are really psychedelic. It sounds like E6. It's produced by Dave Fridman, who did the Mercury Rev records and has worked at Flaming Lips to give you kind of a sense of the psychedelia involved. It's really nice. He'll actually be playing at the Stereo Gum show. Sky Ferreira, who's making really nice music out of Los Angeles, who worked with Ariel Reichstad. And Ariel Reichstad produced that Chaim song that we heard at the top of the show. Ariel Reichstad also co-produced the upcoming Vampire Weekend album. So She's great.
And if you're not going to be going down there, they're actually coming to New York. How to Dress Well and Skyfair are playing co-headlining tour there.
That's right.
Bowery Ballroom and Williamsburg Hall of Music the following week.
And we also have Metz, Lacutus, 100 Waters, Bleeding Rainbow, and Kitty Pryde at the Stereo Gum Show. So that's that. What to Avoid.
You love Kitty Pryde.
I think she's charming. I'm not going to say that... I'm going to say she's very charming, and she's coming a long way as a rapper. And I think that she deserves people's attention. So there's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What to Avoid?
What to Avoid? I would say avoid, if you can, going to see really big bands.
You already said that.
Well, that's the main thing, you know?
Like, I would have to agree. I mean, unless you have a guaranteed...
You spend all your time in a line.
Yeah, unless you have a guaranteed in, or like you're down just to kind of wait and hang out and see, like wait in line and get there early... Just
Darren, with that question, do you want me to say what bands to not see?
No.
I mean, that'd be actually a really, like, really aggressive, mean list. Snacky Tunes as we take a turn to, like, the really mean stuff.
Yeah.
What about tips for eating and drinking and things like that?
Gee, you guys took me to this little park of food trucks, which I want you to tell everyone.
Oh, yeah, right on 6th and, I think, Colorado. By the way, here's a tip for any bands that are listening. We went with people from Stereo Gum, from Snacky Tunes, from Spin, and we saw this band sitting there. They were not the greatest band, but at no time during their set did they say the name of their band.
Are you talking about Eastside King?
Yeah, whatever. All we know is that they're from Alaska, and they played at 6:30 on a Thursday. So if your band out there, it's okay to self-promote a little bit and let people know who you're seeing, because just assume they don't know who they're seeing.
It's true.
Are you guys excited for the Tacoritos, Doritos,
It's going to be very Cool Ranch based, I just realized, which is ridiculous.
Did you see that they're doing a new Cool Ranch show?
Have you seen what happened in Austin last year?
No.
Okay.
There was a 5-story structure that was built in the middle of the city, basically right by where everyone needs to walk. 5 stories in the visage of a Doritos vending machine where they actually had bands and stuff play, and like Snoop Dogg and stuff. So it's the sort of thing where, like, as far as marketing, it was an eyesore, but also like everyone took photos and put it on Instagram and tweeted about it because you couldn't not. It was a 5-story vending
machine. I'm 100% that they saw that as a total win.
It was. I mean, I'm talking about it now, and it's going to be. And I hate myself for doing it, and I hate them for doing it, but it worked. Good job.
Hate the strong
word.
They're
bringing it back.
Yeah, they are.
But
and
Cool
then,
Ranch style. This is the year.
I think
Cool
it'll
Ranch.
Be Cool Ranch style. Yeah.
And then there's a Twix thing, and then there's something else.
Insert here. Just search like over corporatization of South by Southwest. You can see all the hated articles. We get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so why don't you give people the nuts and bolts of where they can follow you, how they can see you on Instagram.
Check out
the website.
So the website I edit is called Stereo Gum. Our show down in Austin is Friday, March 15th during the day at the Hype Hotel, which you can RSVP very easily by looking up that information on Google. It's free. My Twitter is twitter.com/AmritSingh, AmritSingh. Stereo Gums is StereoGum. And if you live in California, if you live in San Francisco or Los Angeles, the film Dosa Hunt that I made is coming to both of those cities. In San Francisco, it'll be playing at the Asian Art Museum. The guys from Das Racist are going to rap afterward. We're going to have 2 kinds of dosa being served. And in Los Angeles, I can't really talk about it yet. It's going to be a film festival in April, though.
And if you heard
that's twitter.com.
If you heard about it here on Snacky Tunes.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last year, and at that point, I was still just pulling 14-hour days trying to get it done.
And if you heard about go tell Amrit, because we want to know if we have any listeners out in L.A. Or
yeah, that would be great. I'd love to.
Jack, what are our metrics in San Francisco? We got.
Don't answer.
Yeah, he's got it.
So
shaking his head.
So take us out with one song. What are you going to play?
I am going to give you. You want to do Sky Ferreira?
Sure.
All right, Sky Ferreira. Everything is embarrassing.
Thanks for listening.
Hey, one last plug.
One last plug.
Our own Joe Galarraga from Big Ups at South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah.
Check him out.
Yeah, if you like hard, heavy rock.
That was the voice of God.
Yeah. AKA the voice of Jack. Jen, Molly, thank you so much.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
It was a pleasure. Follow everybody on Instagram and Twitter. We got a springtime. Things are getting big for everybody. All right, here we go.
Thank you, guys.
Waiting for your moment to fall by. you know.